Hi, everybody. It's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's incredible guest is Michelle Weinstein. The really cool thing about her, she's like the only person on the planet that I know that has been on ABC's Shark Tank. So, wow, right? She's here to talk to us today about how to be a better entrepreneur. She's got some great years of experience, 20 plus years. She's done a ton of stuff. She's raised money. She's landed contracts with big clients like Costco and Vitamin Shoppe. Of course, the Shark Tank thing is like above cool. So Michelle, welcome to the podcast. So happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
This is great. So, I mean, I want to know all about Shark Tank, but I'm sure we want to kind of weave that into the conversation. But I'm curious, you know, you're a woman in sales. There's very few of us on the planet.
Yes.
What got you started into this beautiful career that we love, but it's kind of tough for women to break into? How did you do that?
So sales really just was maybe in my DNA. I just didn't know it. And I would say that my first set of formal sort of training happened at Nordstrom. So I, out of college, I got a regular job at a company called Moss Adams. And I was a financial analyst and was sitting in a cubicle for most of my life for about 3 years. And I was pretty much miserable. Mm-hmm. So I started teaching my own boot camp classes and I got a part-time job at Nordstrom because I was always buying like business clothes. And I said, well, might as well get 40% off and work the sales at their flagship store downtown. And when I was there, I learned that I actually had a skill just in me. And I was really good. I love selling clothes to the women. I was in one of the women's departments at the time. And it came natural to me, I guess you could say. But I really learned customer service and I really learned even more higher level sales by going through some of their training programs. Because I said, well, if I'm going to be here, let me see what this Nordstrom, you know, training thing is all about. So that's really where I learned that I was really good at sales. And from that moment forward, I'm like, how do I get out of this cubicle? Because this cubicle, it was not a sales job. I was inputting spreadsheets. Actually, my nickname from one of my best friends is Spreadsheet. She actually has that in one of her, she's a comedian. Her name's Monique Marvez. And she has a whole bit about me because I do all her invoicing for her because I'm so good at spreadsheets. I mean, literally, that's pretty much what I did out of college. I inputted and learned formulas and all this techie stuff in Excel.
Wow.
And I said, you know, what could I do with numbers and with sales at the time? Because I knew I was good in the with people. And really, that's really what it's about. Sales is just serving people. And in college, I also was a cocktail waitress for 4 years. I didn't know that was a sales job, but it really was.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a waitress or selling high-end tequila shots or high-end clothes, it's the same thing. You're serving people what they want. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we do, right? In the profession of sales or, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you signed up for a 24/7 sales career. anyone who's in business for themselves, you're selling all day long. I was actually talking to a mom the other day and she said, you know, as a mom, I'm a salesperson all day long too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. I'm not a mom, selling, but I can see it.
Yeah. Selling to your kids.
So that's really how it all started.
Wow. But I heard a couple of things that I want to make sure the audience also heard is that Michelle, who is now the founder of her own gig called The Pitch Queen, and I'll put her links and everything about her in the show notes. But she was, if you heard, she sought out education. She definitely tried to learn more about this thing called sales, how moving parts all fit together. She comes from a little bit of a technical background, so there's this idea of detail that's woven throughout. And I think sometimes when we see this type of persona, a salesperson's persona, they have a undeniable desire to continue learning and getting better.
Yeah.
They definitely want to track their progress. They don't necessarily wing every conversation. And you're sounding like you had that basic DNA that would allow you and give you permission to explore this field to the point where now you're teaching business owners and entrepreneurs how to do what you do.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And I think you know, I'm always still learning. I even have a friend who I've met, and we do a lot of role playing still, because you can't be the best at your craft if you stop learning. And if you want to be able to charge premium prices and you want to be able to be at the top of your game, I equate it to like the top paid NFL quarterback in the NFL. That person isn't the top paid person because they stopped throwing the ball. They actually went above and beyond and probably did more on their nutrition side. They probably did more on their workouts. They probably watched more film. They probably balls, whatever it was, they always worked on their game. And I believe as entrepreneurs or whatever your exact craft is, we always have to be learning. So I always look for other sales courses, you know, even if I can learn one new thing from one course or one place, then I can be that much better. And that's really what this is about.
And you probably also put that one thing into action to start testing it to see if it's something that would fit into your normal rhythms. So let's go to the Shark Tank side. Now, that is a huge, huge thing that you have accomplished. I mean, thinking about it, I equate it to being able to prepare to actually pitch to a large corporation or a multi-million dollar contract, or, you know, that process of preparation. Can you tell us a little bit about what's the history of that? How did that all start? And what were some of the milestones that you took along the way that our audience can relate to as they're trying to generate new business in their companies, or if they're entrepreneurs, to build revenue for their companies? Was there a correlation that you found in getting to Shark Tank? And if so, what does that look like?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at the time it was July 2000, I think it was 14 or 12, 2012 or 2004. I can't even remember. It was so long ago. and it was with my last company, and I was looking for my second round of investment at the time. And I said, well, you know what? I watch this show religiously, so why don't I just apply? I think I'd be a perfect candidate. And I applied. And similar to how everyone here listening is probably, you know, getting ready to pitch, you know, for a new customer or grow their top line revenue, whatever it may be, you had to get prepared. So I did my homework. You know, I found every producer on Twitter and LinkedIn. I started following them. I started engaging with them. I sent emails, I applied online, and I think I hit every single angle that I got a response. And I did my first interview, and then you had to go to the next process, which you had to submit a video and fill out 100 pieces of paper and through the test. But if you think about getting put through the test, every single opportunity that came after that for me, it was putting me through the test. And I think everything that we do, you have to think about it as, I called my Shark Tank experience going to the Olympics. Yeah. Like for some of my friends that have been in the Olympics, you have to go to the trials. You have to go, you know, you do your regionals, then you go to the Olympic trials. And then if you make the trials, then you actually get to go to the Olympics. This wasn't any different. And it correlates 1000% with gaining a really big client if it's in the multi-million dollar type contracts or any significant large contract or customer. Mm-hmm. You can't just wing it. You have to prepare. So I did season 4. And one of the other ways I prepared is I watched season 1, 2, and 3. And I made a spreadsheet because obviously my nickname was Spreadsheet and all I know how to use is Excel. And I documented every single pitch and deal from season 1, 2, and 3 and studied the questions that were asked. I had all the answers. I saw the ratios as far as how much people were giving up of their companies versus how much the investment was. I did so much due diligence. I ran Shark Tank pitches with my current investors that I had at the time at my house. And we did practice sessions with the questions of what I researched from writing all the questions out. I prepared, you know, and you get to really learn, and I think for each person listening, how to be in the unknown. And honestly, when you can get comfortable with being comfortable in the unknown, which is very uncomfortable, then that's where I think a lot of magic is created. And so that was the Shark Tank experience. I mean, pretty much from July, whenever I taped, you know, I probably applied 3 to 4 months prior. Mm-hmm. And every time they hang up the phone with you, they say, you know, we'll let you know when the next step is, and just know that there's no guarantees. And every single call and email, that's what you would hear. Just so you know, there's nothing guaranteed. Just so you know, you might not hear back from us. Just so you know, it was just nuts to even think that that was really possible. And they say that until you see yourself on TV, then that's when you know it's real. And here's the funny thing. Well, now it's funny. At the time, it wasn't. 1/3 of every single taping doesn't air. So if they had 140 of us actually pitch and tape. Prior to that, they send people home because you have to pitch to the producers prior. If you don't pass the producer pitch, then you get sent home. So there's the regionals, there's the nationals, there's the Olympic trials, and then you get to go to the Olympics, and that's standing in front of them, right? So right. At every moment, you can get cut. And then there was about 40 of us that got this email that says, I'm so sorry, but you know, those of you with deals and no deals, unfortunately, your episode will not be airing this season, and we'll let you know if it does in the future.
Wow.
So guess what? I was one of those. My episode never aired after all of that. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, that experience is what helped me with my last company. I mean, I pitched to Vitamin Shoppe a really outside the box idea to really change the supplement industry to more of a preventative approach. And we were able to do a 10 store test inside Vitamin Shoppe. And I was prepared, you know, I was meeting the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company. And that experience of preparation for Shark Tank got me prepared for anything. So I got into the Vitamin Shoppe. They invested over $1 million in a project. It was really great at the time. And, you know, I was able to pitch to buyers for Costco with my products. So I did a lot of B2B business. And all I can say is thanks to the Shark Tank experience that got me prepared for being uncomfortable and being comfortable and being in the unknown.
But also, as you said, you know, this is the thread through this is you at each step, you earn the right to actually go to the next step. And that's really, when we look at prospecting and we break it down into the steps of prospecting at the various stages in the pipeline, which is what I teach, it's all about what you need to do at the step you're at in order to earn the right to either go to the next step in the active pipeline or put them to sleep for a while because they're not a good fit right now, or actually get them out because they're definitely never going to come back into the active pipeline. But what you've set that stage that each step is important, each step has meaning, and each step earns you that right to go to the next step. And it's so great that you had that experience. I mean, I'm sure. So let's take that experience now and let's focus on the Pitch Queen. What aspects of the Shark Tank or that experience do you instill now in your troops, in your business owners and entrepreneurs and people who love to work with you? Where do they start? Is there like a mountain they're climbing, or do you spoon feed them the various pieces of information that they need in order to skyrocket their revenue?
Yeah. So mostly with what I do today with the Pitch Queen and the brand, I obviously it's a lot of sales, but primarily people that are selling a really high ticket offer, a high value service. So I work with a lot of certified public accountants, CPAs that, you know, have clients that are doing services of anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000 a month annual or every month in revenue, right, or maybe one-time engagements of $50,000 to $100,000. And what is that process of selling and building that relationship with that type of client? And how do you service that type of client at that level? And that's really what my main focus is. So it's really on the high offer, high value service process of selling. And I would say that, you know, the Shark Tank experience and how it correlates and what I teach today is really about, you know, persistence. I teach a skill set called being professionally annoying, because you have, I mean, for everyone listening, you all know how much you have to follow up. But if there's someone you really want to work with, there's really great ways on how you can follow up and how you can do it in a professional manner. And I would say that even the Vitamin Shoppe or Costco or anyone that I worked with in the last 8 years, they say that that is a quality that I have. And I now teach it to people, because I think a lot of times we, and you all might be feeling this too, in the beginning stages of when you were selling or starting your business, you didn't want to annoy people. You didn't want to be, you know, not only annoying, but you didn't want to bother them. Well, to be honest, if you've got something great, or you've got a solution to a massive problem, and I believe that every single thing I do today or with the clients that I work with, you have to have a significant solution to a massive problem. And if you don't follow up, or you think you're bothering them, but you have the solution, then you're actually doing that them a disservice, or you're doing that company a disservice, right? Like if the Vitamin Shoppe told me, you know, we really want to be different than GNC and everyone else, and I had these fresh prepared meals, and I was 1000% that this would differentiate them, and I knew I could execute and make this big, huge project happen. If I didn't follow up, they would have actually never worked with me. But they told me that because I was so persistent, that's why they chose me over three of my other big competitors at the time that were much larger companies than us. But they knew that because of my persistence and because of my willingness to pretty much go above and beyond, that that's why they chose me and my company. And all of that was in me, but it even got a lot deeper with the Shark Tank experience. Because if I didn't follow up and I wasn't persistent, guess what? I probably wouldn't have even made it past August. I probably would have never even had a taping. Because they're going to want to, they want people that are hungry, but you can do it in a professional, not annoying way, that you're not bothering people and that you're actually there to wake them up. And that if you don't wake these people up, then you're actually hurting them by not being persistent and following up with whatever you're, you know, at the time with my food company, I was here to change lives one meal at a time. So that was my mission. And I, you know, you have to obviously have a mission and a passion that goes correlates with it. But that's what helped everything and how I was able to get a lot of those B2B deals done.
But you also, as part of that, you know, we're getting drilled ad nauseum in our world about adding value for every sales conversation that you have. But there is no definition of what that means, you know, adding value. So being professionally annoying is also adding value, because each conversation that you choose to have does something so that the prospect recognizes that, wow, this is different. This is something that I really want to learn about, get to know.
Yeah.
Have more conversations around. And that blueprint that you're teaching your clients, and what I call is patiently persistent or pleasantly persistent.
Yeah. Which, or you know, I call it professionally annoying.
Yeah.
All the same thing.
It's all the same. But I think, you know, having that framework of what exactly does that mean, and how do I link conversation to conversation, especially if I'm top of funnel, where I'm starting more cold conversations. In my world, we do targeted outreach. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to start conversations with people we don't know. But right. I too have had that same experience as you, of people saying, oh my gosh, Mary Lou, thank you so much for continuing this conversation, because I don't think I would have found you had you not reached out to me. You know,
right,
even in this day, right, in the day of
sometimes
all this,
people don't think they have a problem, right?
Right.
So that's what I think it is. It's very, you know, even like with the people I work with, the certified public accountants, a lot of them don't think they have a sales problem. They don't even, why would they go look for you if they didn't even know that they had a problem? But if you open up their eyes to the possibility that maybe why they're not, you know, for my CPAs, maybe why their business isn't over 1 million yet. Well, a million in revenue means that you need to increase your sales. Well, if you have a problem in your sales process, or you just keep answering people's prices, or, you know, when a client calls, say, how much do you cost? And you just give them a number. That's a problem. But they don't even know that that's a sales problem.
Exactly.
Right. So for all of you who are doing some cold outreach, just remember that they don't even really know if they have a problem.
They don't. They're unaware. They're maybe, like you said, they don't know that they have a problem. They think they might have a small problem, but they have no idea where to look for solutions. I mean, there's like five levels of awareness that we have to be prepared for in that sales conversation in order to be able to get them to bubble up. The other thing I found is that we don't define who we are and why we matter well enough in these conversations. So value is also about you. It's about why people should change what they're doing now and start having a conversation with you. It's not all product related at all, really, at top of funnel.
Has nothing to do with product.
Yeah, exactly.
It all has to do with the relationship and the rapport that you build with the person, because, I mean, we all know people buy from people. If it was about the product, Vitamin Shoppe would have never worked with us. I mean, granted, we have a great product, but they were buying the person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So in our parting comments, I want to be respectful of our time with our folks. You know, I'm going to put all the information of how people can reach you on your page of the website. But let us, you know, tell us in parting, what are the two or three actionable things that people can start today after listening to this podcast? I heard planning. Planning is one.
Planning. Yes.
Yeah. And
action.
Also,
take one thing that's been on your to-do list and go do it.
Right.
Or one thing that you've been wanting to work on in your sales skills and actually implement it, not just talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah. And then you have a framework. You have a way of getting people to kind of uncover this value. How do you spread out this value and become professionally annoying, but do so in a way that you have reason why to contact them multiple times? This is the biggest problem that I see, is that people are afraid to contact because they are, quote unquote, annoying. But you're not annoying if you are adding that value. But what does that mean? That definition of value, I think that's where your methodology would really help audiences like mine, where we're starting these cold conversations. We're trying to build the relationship first before we start talking about product, feature, benefit, results. We talk about results, but we do it in a very emotional kind of way to get people curious, fascinated, asking us, well, how do you do that? You know, and I think that that's where, from what I heard in this conversation, you really excel in getting your folks to start moving in that direction.
Yes, for sure. And I think, I mean, I have so many worksheets and different things that you guys can use, but I would say the best way is to go to sellwithoutsleaze.com, and you'll get my 5-step pitch queen system. And I do cover this thing called professionally annoying. So if you go to sellwithoutsleaze.com, put in the best email address, you'll really be able to hopefully, you know, boost your confidence in the conversations that you're having with people. But also, again, how do you bring value to them? Right?
Yes.
Because like you said, it's all about value. But for each person listening, you each have a different product. But just think about the human connection. Right? It's all about the human part of it. So hopefully that would really make a big impact. And then on my emails, I send out also 2 a week, one for my podcast called Success Unfiltered, and then one for my live show. So I do a Facebook live show that I also record the audio called Coffee is for Closers. And I think I did a whole month of following up and exactly on what we just talked about. So you'll be able to see that. And again, just go to sellwithoutsleaze.com, put in your best email, and you'll get my 5-step system to really take the stress out of selling for good, but also really build that confidence. And then you can also watch the whole month or listen to the whole month of the follow-up, the art of the follow-up.
Yeah,
and hopefully, but just take one thing and just do one thing. Because like you said earlier, if you don't put anything into action, then you're not going in the forward direction. And you can listen to me and you can listen to every single guest here all day long. But if you actually don't implement, then you're not doing yourself any good and you're not doing your clients any good.
Exactly. Amen, Michelle. Well, thank you so much for your time. I will put all these links on Michelle's page so that you guys can get over there. I would definitely download that 5-step process because that's going to get you started thinking about chunking down those conversations into multiple steps as you're working through the pipeline from that initial conversation through the follow-up sequences and then on to the opportunity stage. For us, it's a must-have type of framework so that you can craft the right conversation for each of the different people that you're selling to along the way as you're moving these accounts from that first stage all the way through to opportunity and then beyond, which I don't cover, but beyond. And Michelle probably covers all the way to close, but Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for your time, and we will be sure to put all these links for everybody.
Oh, thank you so much. It was an honor to be here. Thanks again.